glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. You see, now today I knew the answer before I asked the question. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. And how awesome is it to serve the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord? And this is just a taste, the Bible says. It's just a taste. You know, the Word of God says the Holy Spirit is a down payment. Hallelujah. It's a down payment on the full measure of God that awaits us. And God has just given us a foretaste, right? And if this is what the foretaste is like, can you imagine what the power of God in the fullness of a glorified body is going to be like? You know, that's why the Word of God says no man can see his face and live. You would blow up. You would blow up if God put all of his power and his glory, just the fullness of his measure, into these vessels. Oh, I feel like I'm going to explode already. I'd probably just go, hallelujah. So God is awesome. It's so awesome to be serving the Lord. And we are talking about the appointed of God. No one is here by accident. No one is alive today by accident. It's really divine design. Yes, the world is full of evil and sin, but God is using that for his own good. And because God, he knows everything before it even happens. And so he says, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that. And all the things that seem like they were meant for evil, and maybe they were, God says, I will turn it around for good. Hallelujah. And so when we see evil, we have to begin to think that is an opportunity for good, because God has the ability to turn things around. And that is why homecoming is so powerful, because homecoming represents a home to come to. Hallelujah. You see, if you don't have a home, then you can't come home. Isn't that right? So home signifies that there's a place where we belong. There is a place where God is glorified, where he is magnified even. And home is a place where you can feel free. Home is a place where you have access in and out. You don't have to knock on the door when you come home. Does anybody knock on the door when they go home? Who are you looking for, right? Who are you looking? You're saying nobody should be there because it's my home. And so when it's your home, you just have free access. And God says, my kingdom come on earth, even as it is in heaven. That's our home. Jesus says we are not of this world. In fact, he told those around him, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would rise up to fight, to defend my home turf, my home place, my home skillet. I knew that would get you. So home is a place where we belong. It's a place that belongs to us, and we are coming home. God says he is preparing a place for us. Isn't that what Jesus said? I am preparing a place for you. That is home. So this is not our home. We are in a new place, and God is doing a new thing. And in 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul talks about this very principle of us not really understanding the fullness of what it is that we have rights to, and even that we have become, and even all the things that God has made us to be. It's more than just we're going to be like Jesus. We don't even really understand what that means. It's so much more than we can even imagine. And so he says, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love how this is brought out. And this is, as you know, is New American Standard. And one of the main reasons I love this translation is because it goes directly from the Hebrew and the Greek and makes it clear the way it was originally written. And it's word for what it says. And this is an important passage because it helps us to understand that when we look into a mirror, what are you looking at? Your reflection, the reflection of who? Of yourself. And so we look into a mirror, but we only can see it dimly. And that is powerful. And that is why I want to use as a theme today, through a glass dimly. Through a glass dimly. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask God that you would help us to see in the mirror of the reflection of who we are so that we would have better understanding of what our lives are really about. And that we would understand that our future is always going to be greater than our past. And you, oh God, are the one who goes before us. You have breathed life into us in this day and age. You have appointed us for such a time as this so that your name can be lifted up and exalted. You said we are to be your witnesses. And God, that is our desire, to be your disciples. Disciples who reflect the image of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks, O God. Amen and amen. So Paul is talking about the importance of understanding who we are in Christ, because if you don't know who you are, you don't understand where you're going. In order to know where you're going, you have to understand who you are. And as a person who's born in a particular family, your family helps you establish your identity. Your family helps you understand who you are. And even though the majority of families don't have identity meetings where they sit around and talk about who they are as a family, it is something that is gleaned through our life experience in the home. And the home experience depicts what a person's identity ultimately will be based on what they see, what they experience. Children watch their parents interact. They watch the confidence level or lack of confidence level. They will look at all of these things that they experience as they grow up in their home, all of the dynamics of life in their own family and in their own household. And then they go to school and compare their experiences to the experiences of the people around them, their friends, and those who are in school with them. We also compare ourselves to people we see on TV or in movies, and we watch the media, and we have social media, and we have all of these things that are there to enable us to compare ourselves to what we see. As a result, we form our own identity, our own opinion of ourselves, and we place ourselves on the scale of what we see, the scale of public opinion, I could say. And as a result, we live out our lives based on that. And that ultimately is why we end up with fears and phobias, because of that ability to compare, and we see ourselves in light of the reflection of the people around us. And so we don't really understand who we really are until we come to God. And this is why the world is having an identity crisis. The world is having an identity crisis because they don't know who they are because of social media and because of the mentality of the people in the world being confused. The world is in a state of confusion. And that's why the scripture says God has not given us a spirit of confusion, but he's given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Do you understand why now? You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, I've grown up, I used to hear that verse, and I was like, sound mind? Well, we all have a sound mind. Here I am now in 2022, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, these people have lost their minds. People do not have sound minds. And that is why you and I, as the people of God, we're grounded in the Word of God. It is truth, because the Word of God says, as the days grow more and more evil, that there will be a greater gulf or distance between righteousness and truth. And unfortunately, we are seeing it increase day by day. We are seeing this, and this is why our identity cannot be established through the media, through social media, online, through watching movies and TV, and through the identity of the people we interact with on our jobs and in school, and all the people that we think are our friends. Ultimately, we are comparing ourselves, and we're aligning and adjusting our mentality to those who are lost and dying in this world. And so the question is, how do you see it? How do you see yourself? How do you see life? How do you see it? How are you adjusting and adapting yourself to the environment that you find yourself relating to? Because that will determine how effective you are ultimately in life. And you and I have to be very careful that we are not seeing things from the lost and dying, dark, demented, distorted world. But we're seeing clearly. Life is a matter of perspectives. And when we look at things, they're not always as they appear. And there are people today who somehow they are of one type, or they are a particular mindset and way of life, but for some reason they see themselves differently. And it's a matter of perspective. And suddenly the man is a chicken. And there are people who are seeing themselves in a way whereby they don't even realize who they are. They have a distorted perspective. Their perspective is literally upside down. And you can go through life with an upside down perspective, thinking you're a chicken, but that is not what God wants us to believe. Can you see the chicken? Hallelujah. Yes. And that's exactly what happens. We have to adjust our perspective from that of the world to one of God. And when we are looking at this old lady who kind of looks like a witch, there are some people who look down on themselves. They see themselves in a negative light. But really, they're a queen, a princess, beautiful. And our perspective is adjusted based on what we are focusing on and how we focus ourselves. And God has called us to abide in him, to focus on his word, to allow his will and his ways to be stirred up and established in our life, because we see life through a distorted reflection. A mirror, a glass, or we see things in a way that is not really clear, and then we speculate the rest from there. And so God says, let me help clear things up for you. Let me help you see that you're not a chicken, You're not a witch, but you are beautiful in the sight of God. You are created in the image of God. You are someone whom God has called for such a time as this. And we cannot allow the world to define our focus, our intention. But we must allow the Word of God to dwell within us richly so that we can see things from God's perspective. After all, He created the world. After all, He is the one who made what we have experienced through life. He is the author and the finisher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so, saints of God, that is the perspective that we want. It is God's perspective. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. And when I became a man, I did away with childish things." It doesn't say it goes away. It says he did away. He moved it away. He got rid of it. It was a deliberate action. In other words, he thought about things and said, "I am not going to hold on to that perspective or that mentality. I am not going to behave that way. I am going to put this away." It is childish. That means it's intentional. That means it's something that you think about. Now, we know that a human being's brain is not fully functional until about 25. Their ability to reason and rationalize effectively does not really mature fully until 25. And until that age, you can't really have a clear perspective. You can't even fully rationalize and properly reason. And that is why evil takes its root in trying to reach children. Because once a children's mind that is not fully formed and able to reason can be distorted or shaped in a way that is ungodly, it sets a course for the rest of their lives that they will have to struggle and deal with. And this is why you see attacks on identity in young children, trying to get young children to buy into the idea that they're something other than who they really are. And this is taking place on so many different levels in society and in the world around us. And we have to have the Word of God to anchor us in the truth, in what is right. That is the purpose of the Word of God. I really believe the Word of God was not just written for the Israelites, not just written during the days and times of Jesus for the people who lived during those days, but I believe the Word of God was written for those who were to survive in the last days. Because it is in the last days that the gap between what is sound and reasonable and that which is insane begins to blur together. And people can't tell the difference. And so you and I have to learn how to do away with these things. Verse 12 says, "Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known." In other words, who I really am is not going to come clear until I see Jesus face to face. Because then I will have a clear understanding of who he is, therefore reflecting who I am. And we cannot fully understand who we have been created to be, who we have been made to be, until we have a revelation from God. We need God to show us, because the world is distorting everything all around us. Everything is foggy. It's not clear. People don't know the difference between a man and a woman. People don't even know if that's the limits of humanity. And so now, people are lost and confused. And the world is suffering in ways that you and I would never have imagined just a few years ago. And so verse 13 says, but now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. And love is at the root of who God is. God is love, the Word of God says. He is love. God is spirit. God is light. And God is love. All of these are describe the essence of God's identity. And as he is operating and functioning in the world around us and even above and beyond us, we can always understand that the magnitude of his hope and his the love that he brings into our lives is greater than we can fully see or understand because we're seeing through a glass dimly. We can't really see fully. And we're measuring God based on the people in our lives, the things that we see. But he is so much greater and bigger than that. Oh, we have no idea. Hallelujah. So verse 8 says of chapter 2, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. What? Hallelujah. We haven't even seen it, saints of God. We haven't even seen it. Not only that, our ear has never even heard of the things that God is doing. Think about that. God is doing things. He is preparing things for us that we have never even heard of. It hasn't even entered into the heart of mankind. Humanity can't even conceive of these things. Humanity is in a very interesting state because there is more about life and the world that people have not discovered and do not know than the things they do know. And when we think about things from that perspective, it changes everything. And especially when you watch how people make decisions, how government makes decisions. And one minute we're going this way, and the next minute we're going this way. And it's because people have no idea. And they're seeing through a glass dimly. Things are not what they appear to be. That the situation is really so much bigger than us that we don't have the mind to be able to understand it or pull it together. We need the mind of Christ. We need the mind of God. Otherwise, our emotions will dictate our directions. And we have to overcome allowing our emotions, aka the flesh, to keep us from the ways that are not of God. And so we have to trust in the Lord. We have to have faith in God. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2 says, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Hallelujah. That means that God is able to impart himself to us so that we can have revelations of things we have not even seen, we haven't even thought of. God brings things into perspective from his vantage point. And so now we're able to understand what the Spirit searches out and brings to light for us to see. And this is why Paul talks about walking in the Spirit, so that we don't fulfill the deeds of the flesh or the things of the flesh, allowing our emotions and our fears to dictate how we make our decisions. And so the perspective that we need to learn and grow into is God's, and as the Spirit enables us. And so without the Spirit of God, we will always find ourselves defaulting to the flesh, to our emotional factors that kick in as we observe the conditions around us and adjust ourselves accordingly. And God says, don't use the world as your standard. Use the Word of God. The Word of God has to be the standard in your life. And this is why Paul says, meditate on it day and night. The Word of God says over and over again, Jesus says, meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart from your eyes. The Word of God has to be established in your heart so that you do not sin against God. In other words, that you don't find yourself being confused by the world, the ways of the community and the mindset of the people around you. Verse 11 of Luke 15 says, as we look at this story, it tells us how the prodigal son was caught up in this whole dynamic. And when we look at this story, I want to look at it today from the vantage point of perspective from God versus the perspective of the sons. And so verse 11 says that he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And so he divided his wealth between them. He divided his wealth between the two sons. But ultimately what actually happened was he divided his estate and took out a portion to give to the younger son. And as a result, the younger son had his share, but the rest was left where it belonged. And verse 13 says, not many days later, after he received his inheritance, the younger son gathered everything together, and then he went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Hallelujah. There are a lot of us who live loosely. Loose living means we allow the influences of the world around us, the community, the what we see, the advertisements, and all of the ideas and the motivations and the thoughts of the people around us who motivate us to think a certain way. They play on our emotions. They try to cause us to do things that they want us to do. And we have to learn how to be rooted and grounded in our true identity. And so he squanders everything with loose living. He was spending all of his money. He felt like he was rich. He had a portion. Think about that. He had a portion and he was living large. Oh, that ought to tell you that even a small portion with God is enough to make any of us feel rich. Hallelujah. Oh, you can feel good. Oh, praise God. This is why you see so many people, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then when you pull back and you look at their lives, you're going, wait, what? Because they feel like they have more than what they really have. And the perspective has got to be aligned with God's perspective. Oh, yes, you are, but you only have a portion because you can only see dimly. You are, your reflection of yourself and who you are is dimmed down. You don't really have a clear perspective because there is another perspective that is God's. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, the Father gives us a portion. But that's why we have to learn how to wait on the Lord. And that's why we don't get proud and boastful over the blessings of God, over the provision of God, over what God has done for in our lives and for our lives. But what we do is we are humbled and we are grateful. We are thankful. You see, the younger son, he doesn't say, thanks, Dad. Oh, I really appreciate it. There's no sense of gratitude. There's no sense of understanding that this is not something he deserves or he earned, but it's an inheritance. And that means it is a portion that the father decided to give you. That is grace. That is the grace of God. But the mindset of the son was one that he felt the father owed it to him. And we have to be careful as we go through life that we're not going through life as the children of God thinking that we're entitled to things. But we have to live through humility, understanding that it is by grace. It is by the grace of God. And so we have a heart of thanksgiving. We have a heart of gratitude. And we are humble before the Lord. Pride is pushed away because that is childish thinking. A child wants to go to the store and buy up everything. Oh, man, oh, I want one of those. I want one of these. And they say as a person grows older, they don't really mature necessarily. It's just that their toys become more expensive. And they go into the store and they want to buy everything. I want one of these and I want the latest this and I want the latest of that. I've got to have the latest technology. I got to have the best car. I got to have the best house. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. I want what that person has. Oh, I saw what my friend has. I want one too. That's childish thinking. That is childish living. And this is what the younger son gets drawn into. He goes into this distant country. And when you go to a distant country, you forget where you're from. You forget who you are, and you begin to take on the identity of the place that you find yourself. And that is why when people go off to college, it's a challenging experience because they're disconnected from their true identity. And they forget who they are and how they have been raised up. And people begin to go wild. They let things go and they start doing all the things that other people have imagined that they should try to do. And we align ourselves and we adjust ourselves to fit in to our new environment, our new community. And this is where squandering comes in. All of a sudden, your time runs out. You don't have time to get things done because we allowed other things to get in the way. How many people say, oh yes, I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna spend time in the Word of God. But then all of a sudden, other things come up and you never quite make it. Seizing the opportunity because other things come up. Do you think that's by accident? Do you think that's by chance? Absolutely not. It's a strategy because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There is an adversary who hears your confession and your profession, and he then sets up a plan to shut it down, to make a liar out of you so that you do not fulfill your promises to God. Because when you say out into the spirit realm, you say, I am going to pray more. I am going to go to Bible study. I am going to go to church. I am going to fellowship. I am going to minister to such and such a person. I want to reach and I want to do all these things because the Spirit of God is moving you. The Spirit of God is unctioning you. You're in an atmosphere. You're in an environment where the Spirit of God has lifted you and given you a sense of clarity. And you begin to realize you need to make changes in your life. You need to readjust yourself. You need to realign yourself. And as you try to do it, the enemy rises up. And he says, I am not going to allow you to get free. I'm going to keep you in bondage so that you end up squandering your time, your resources. and you find yourself in a place where you lose everything. This is juvenile thinking. This is childlike thinking, and the only way a person can get free from it is if they put it away. If you put it away, you're consciously aware. This juvenile perspective caused this man to squander his inheritance because he was disconnected from his identity. And this is why we need solid, good, biblically grounded people in our lives. This is why we need the support of the fellowship of the church, of the people of God, because it creates an atmosphere and an environment where the Spirit of God can lift the fogginess and enable us to see more clearly. God enables us to hear and to get to know Him and to be able to make wise decisions. But if you surround yourself with people who are in darkness, then you have a hard time seeing. So many people, I hear them say, "Oh, I have a hard time driving at night. I have a hard time driving at night." Have you ever heard people say that? Right, why? Why is it that they have a hard time driving at night? Because as the sun sets, it becomes more difficult for their eyes to focus. And this is how God says we're going through life. We're going through life, and it's hard to see at night. And then when it's dark, it's hard to make things out. God says this is how life is, and we have to make wise decisions, right? People who can't see at night, what do? They say, "I'm not going out at night." Isn't that right? They say, "I'm not going to go out at night. Or if I go, I'm going to go with someone who can see more clearly, who can help me along the way." And that is how we go through life. We go through life understanding that none of us can really see everything. We need each other in order to help each other to see. And there will be a perspective that you have and a perspective that I have. I will be able to see. Maybe I can see far, but you can see up close. And maybe there's some people who can see somewhere in between. There are people who can see with wider perspective of vision. And we need everybody working together to make sure we don't fall and that we don't trip over something that will damage us. And so we need to have a right perspective. We need to be able to understand the importance of having the resources that we need, maintaining our identity. Verse 14 says, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. Hallelujah. In other words, he was broke. Impoverished. You know, impoverished. That's not a good place. God does not want his people impoverished. No, he does not. Don't you believe that for 1 minute. God has the resources of all creation and beyond. And God has the ability to make a way even when it seems impossible. The challenge is we have to align our perspective with the perspective of God so that we find ourselves where God needs us to be, so when he pours out, we don't move the cup. And then when God is going to make the provision, we shift because someone else gave us a perspective that was not of God. You see, it was a way, and it seemed right, but it turned out to be the way of destruction. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And that is what we are wrestling against. We have to have a right mind. We have to have a sound mind, not a spirit of fear, but of power. In other words, power to put away juvenile thinking, child thinking, childlike thinking, and be able to hold on to the truths of God. God is trying to liberate us from all of these things. And this young man experienced all of these things here. He had a childlike waste of his resources. He was unprepared for the unknown and unexpected. He was caught off guard. Why? Because he was disconnected from his household, from his family, from his father. So he didn't have a more mature perspective of what he was dealing with. And saints of God, there's always someone who God brings into our life who can give us a more mature perspective of what we're dealing with. God has people around us. He places us in relationships with people who we can use as a resource so that we're not caught off guard. Hallelujah. So many people, they come to church and they hear sermons and Bible teachings and studies, and when we go out the doors, we forget everything because the perspective changed. We're no longer looking at the altar of God, but now we're looking at the world. And the world begins to speak to us and begins to change our perspective from one of faith in God to one of fear of the world. And so as a result, we find ourselves in bondage. And that is how you end up locked down. Hallelujah. And this, I always found it funny that they would get on the news and use all of the words the Bible says that God has set us free from. They're speaking them and people are eating it up. And I'm like, wait a minute, but the scripture says that he's not given us a spirit of fear and of a sound mind, but of power and of love. And we ought to be able to operate in the wisdom and the power of God. Okay, there's got to be a different perspective on how we handle our situation and what we do. And that is what the Spirit of God will do for us. That is what God is looking to do in our lives. Otherwise, you end up poor and broke. You end up like Jonah when he was there. He got on the boat, and all of a sudden, the boat starts going, all while he's resting in the boat. And how many people experience trouble because we have the wrong perspective? Because we are not where we're supposed to be. Because we're not doing what God has called us to do. And we find ourselves causing problems for other people. And I thought it was interesting that even in this story, it tells us that this young man, he found himself in the midst of a famine. He was eating. He took a job working and feeding pigs, right? He started feeding pigs, and he found himself in this terrible place. And it was this whole famine that made it even worse. You ever wonder that maybe the famine happened because of his mentality? You see, the men on the boat with Jonah, if Jonah had did what God said to do, then guess what would not have happened? The storm. The storm would not have happened. And I would submit to you, if the people of God do what God says we ought to be doing, maybe a lot of storms could be avoided. Maybe a lot of problems could be avoided. Maybe a lot of issues in people's lives could be avoided. Maybe the trouble in your own house could be avoided if everybody began to align their perspectives with the perspective of God. It changes everything. You can avoid a famine, ultimately. And God says he is our source of life. And even in times of difficulty, God can provide. Hallelujah. There may be a famine, but when you're following and walking with God, God says the righteous will not be forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Hallelujah. What does that say? That says there's no famines when you align yourself with God. God will make a way for us. He will make a way for you. He says, then verse 17 of 15 here, he says, when he came to his senses, you see that? All of a sudden, in other words, he began to think about who he was and where he was from. And then he was comparing that to his own situation and circumstances. And saints of God, how many of us, we have to wait for something terrible to happen before we wake up? We have to find ourselves in a lowly place, in a place with the swine and the pigs. We find ourselves in bondage. We find ourselves overwhelmed and broke with nothing. We have nothing left. And now all of a sudden, oh, I can't tell you how many people I've met that have told me that, oh yes, there was a time when I had all kinds of money. I had many resources, and I had all these things in the world, and I was blessed, and I had all of this stuff. Oh, but now something happened, and now I'm broke. Now I don't really have what I used to have. I'm depleted. Oh, I wish I could help. Oh, back in the day, oh, I would have been able to help. Have you ever heard stories like that? Oh, back in the day. That's what it looks like when you squander, when you don't have a right perspective. You find yourself losing. And as you move forward through life, you end up with less than what you had. And that's why we have to align our perspective, because we don't want to have to go through the trouble. I don't want to be on the boat. I don't want to be the person who says, throw me overboard, and then your life will be better. Wait, what? Even the people in the world are like, no, what? No, no, man, no. No, no, that's not right. You know, there's something wrong with that. But they're like, if you insist. Why? Because they want to live. So they said, the man said, throw him over. Over he goes. You know, trust in the Lord. God be with you. Watch out for that fish. Awfully big. And saints of God, we don't want to live lives like that. We don't want to go through that. We need to come to ourselves. It says when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I'm eating pig food. Oh, man, I mean, goodness. He realized, wait, I have a father who didn't squander his resources. He didn't lose all of his provision. Even the people who are working for him, they have plenty. They got more than I got. And so what happens? Now his perspective is coming back into play. Things are starting to come a little more clear to him. And so he says, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. That is a picture of repentance. Repentance is when you get up and you go to your father and you say to him, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And how did he sin? He squandered all of his inheritance. All of the things that God gave him for him to build with, he wasted it away because he was in the wrong place with the wrong thinking, the wrong environment, and the wrong people encouraging him. They say people who win the lottery within 5 years are broke or back to where they started. A large percentage of the people. And that is because you may have resources, but your mentality is still childish. And if you don't align your perspective to the perspective of God, you will always lose. You will be a loser every time, because the world is designed for you to lose, because Satan is your adversary and he is working against you to make sure that you lose. And he is a deceiver. He is the father of lies, and he works through the people that you're looking at. Hallelujah. And that is why people will say one thing, but people hear another. Because it's not just about what people say, it's about how you are seeing it. It's about your perspective about what they're saying. So they may be thinking they're saying this, but for some reason, you're hearing something totally different. And they may say, that's not what I meant. What are you doing that for? But because our way of thinking is not properly aligned, we go away with the wrong thing. And that is spiritual, my friends. That is spiritual. And the only way to overcome that is to abide in the presence of God, in the Word of God, and to pray without ceasing. We're constantly establishing. You know why it says to do these things? The idea is perpetual praying and perpetual reading of the Word of God. Why? Because the reading of the Word of God renews the mind, and the Bible says strengthens your bones, and it washes you. It keeps you clean so that you can see perspective. You ever have a car with dirty windshield, right? And you clean the car and the windshield still looks dirty? You know why it does that? Because the inside of the glass is dirty. Hallelujah. The inside of the glass is foggy because the plastic on the dashboard of the car emits a gas. And the gas from the plastic, because they make the plastic out of the same thing they make gasoline from, right? It's just it's a byproduct of the, anyway. So there's these gases that come up through the plastic, right? And that coats the glass and makes it foggy. So at night, you're driving and you look and you're like, it's hard to, because now the lights and the reflection of the lights are not only reflecting and refracting from the dirty glass on the outside, but also on the inside, which makes it harder to see at night. And so we end up saying, I'm not going anywhere at night. And not that we should, but we shouldn't be afraid not to if God is calling us. If God is calling us, let God clean your windshield. Inside and out. Hallelujah. Both sides. When was the last time you cleaned the inside of the glass of your windshield in your car? Or the side glass or the back glass? Oh, we love going to the car wash. I go a couple of times a week, right? And so, yeah, I got one of those passes where, you know, I'm like, I'm getting my money's worth out of that $30. You better believe it. And I'm like, I'm just going around. And I keep going around. And I say, wait, they missed the spot. I'm going again. Hallelujah. They never get the whole car. You ever notice that? God says we're going to get everything clean. The Word of God will do that in our lives. He will bring clarity to us. He will help us to see. He will help us to understand and to perceive so that our perspective can be aligned with Him so that we can live a life victoriously and have the attributes of God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. I don't think fear and anxiety was in there anywhere. That's what He's delivering us from. But that's what the world wants us to have so that we can be under their control. Because whoever's words you believe becomes your master, right? And we've talked about that already. But be careful of the words that you believe, that you take into your heart. The Word of God should be hidden in your heart, not the words of men. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you, to speak to you. God will navigate you through the challenges and the difficulties of life. God knows about our community, our society. He knows about our culture. He knows about the world. He knows about sickness and disease. He knows about all manner of evil. But He also knows Satan. And He understands that if we can overcome Satan, then we can live a life victoriously. Hallelujah. And the only way to do that is to come to the Father through repentance. Turn around. Repentance is not a bad word. It's a good word. It just means I changed my thinking on this. And therefore, changed my ways. When you change your thinking, your ways will also change. When you think a certain way, it's going to cause you to act a certain way. It's going to draw you into certain behaviors. The behavior does not happen until the thoughts are manifested. Once the thoughts are manifested, then the behavior follows. And this is why so many good people do bad things. It's because in their minds, they're not so good. You see, we're thinking, oh, but they were such a nice guy. I can't believe he ate all those people. Seems like such a nice guy. Oh, he was just such a nice guy. Yeah, he was, because he was looking at people like they were his next meal. Hallelujah. In his mind, he was saying, I could saute that. I could boil that. Ooh, yes. Oh, yeah. How are you today? My, you're looking mighty healthy today. Oh, you're looking well. You are looking well. Oh, in his mind, he's going through his recipe index. Oh, what could this be like? Saints of God, don't believe everything you see, because the inside of the glass is not so clean. And that is why we need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God working together so that we can have a change of ways. You and I, when you understand who you are in Christ, you realize we can always come home to the Father. No matter what the situation, you have a home to go to. The world, they don't have a home to go to. You and I, we have a home to go to. We can come to God. We can come to Christ. Why? Because we have a Father, a Heavenly Father. He has saved us. He has redeemed us. He has delivered us, and he has set free. And you know what? He loves adopting people. He loves adopting kids. And you know why we are the children of God? Because our perspective is childlike. Our perspective is childish. And God says, I want you to grow up. I want you to come to life. Everything you need is in your Father's house. Oh, if we can be reconciled to God, oh, then that opens the door for all of divinely provided provision. God will do miracles. He will do things that you have never even heard of. You have never even thought of. There are things that God can bring about that you never saw because you didn't have the right perspective, because you were not in the right state of mind. And you and I, there are some things we will never understand until we see him face to face. We will see him face to face. Oh, the prodigal son, he came home through repentance or change of perspective. He began to think about himself in relation to his father and his father's servants. Oh, saints of God, I hope that ought to spark some joy in you. Make you want to fold clothes and roll them up nicely to put in. Hallelujah. Man, God is there for us. He says, man, just change your vantage point. You're looking like this. I want you to look like this. I want you to see it from above looking down, not from below looking up, going, oh, God, help me. Oh, no, you should be up here going, Lord, I see it. We're not going that way. We're going to go this way. Now we're going to go that way. Now we're going to go over here. Oh, we're just going to fly right over everything. Not even going to bother with that. Oh, saints of God, when you're flying over everything, you don't have to worry about, do I turn left or do I turn right? Nope, you just got the helicopter view. You just like, ba 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 ba. And God says, all right, let me put you down here. All right, Lord, ba 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 ba. You know what? You avoided all the traffic. You avoided all of the nonsense, all of the chaos, all of the ridiculous things that you had to. No, God just drops you. People are like, how'd you get here? They're like, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know, because you can't explain it to people, because you're trying to explain it. They're going to say, what? They're not, because they've never even heard of what they said. They haven't even conceived. It's not even in them to do it. They can't touch this. They can't. It's a whole new experience, right? Yeah, you know, it's like, come on. God, it's because of the Lord. God says, that's a picture of repentance. That's what it means. You turned around. Well, I used to think in front of, I used to see it this way, but now I see it differently. How do you see it, my friends? Because based on how you see it, that's how you're going to experience it. And if you change your vantage point, change your perspective, your life experience will also change. And that's why Jeremiah 3:22 says, return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithlessness. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Saints of God, come back to the Lord. Allow God to be glorified. Paul says to the Romans in 5:10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, that's a different perspective. You and I, we shall be saved. God says, I'm just going to pick you up. I'm going to raise you up over all this nonsense, and I'm going to put you down in the place of victory, in the place where you can overcome, in the place where you're more than a conqueror. Why? Because you didn't have to conquer. Because God just dropped you in the place where you were already, you were dropped off in the winner's circle. Hallelujah. Everybody else, they heard the gun, and they start running. And you said, well, Lord, help. Noah says, sure. He picked you up. He says, we're at the finish line. Boom, right there. And you're like, hallelujah. And the people are like, how did you get here so fast? Everybody else is still running. Here they come. And you're like, yeah, hallelujah. Can I have a little something cold to drink? I'm a little thirsty myself. And there you are. You're rested. You're refreshed. You're revived. You're renewed. You're there being restored in God. Why? Because you are more than a conqueror. Not only did you beat him, but you beat him and didn't have to run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, that's what God will do for you. He will change your perspective. He will change your point of view. And this is why you and I can live victoriously. This is why he says we not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom we have now received the reconciliation. That's the reconciliation. Where you and God, you got this thing going on. God says, you see that? I say, I see it, Lord. And you say, Lord, what are we going to do? How are you going to help? And you say, oh, don't worry, I got you. Woo, doop. All of a sudden, you ever have that experience? All of a sudden, you're looking at it and you're going, oh, my Lord, this looks terrible. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with it? And oh, you're going, oh, and everybody's going, oh, and you're going, oh, and other people are making you go, oh, and you know, you're like, well, I don't know. I know God can say, but they're going, oh, so you're like, well, should I be going, oh, and you're like, well, what's going on? And all of a sudden, you say, but God, help me. All of a sudden, God says, what? And you're like, boom. All of a sudden, you're going, wait, what? 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 Now you're in a whole nother place. God just says, I just snatched you out of it. You ever wonder how something got solved? Now you know what happened. Now you know what happened. And we go through it first. We're like, oh, and then all of a sudden a year goes by and all of a sudden it just went away somehow. And that thing you were going, ah, now all of a sudden it's gone. And you're like, wait, what happened? Let me think about that. Then you got to think about how did that work? You ever had that happen? You had a situation and all of a sudden, just time went by, something happened, and it was like because you hit a time warp in the spirit. God beamed you out of that into another place, and all of a sudden, it's just dealt with. It's just gone. Now you got to work to try to figure out what even happened. You're like, I don't even know what happened. It just got fixed. It just went away. It just, I don't know, it just lifted. That's the Spirit of God. That is what the Spirit of God will do. That's God reconciling us. He's like, let me reconcile you in this situation. And so Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. In order for you to have a future and a hope, that means you got to make it through today. Because today is today. And God is saying your future is great. Hallelujah. And that is a change of perspective. That is what God is trying to help us to see. So it doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter. Why? Because you know what? God can just, he just beams you out. God will deal with it. God will guide you in the right way. He will cause all things to work together for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so we see in a mirror dimly, saints of God. But then, face to face. Now we know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Saints of God, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You're a child of God. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You have to understand that if you make a stand according to the word of God and the truth of God, the Spirit of God will fortify you and he will sustain you. And while other people are running around like chickens, you can have your right mind. You can operate in the wisdom of God, in the power of God, in the strength of God. So as people are looking down on themselves and seeing themselves, oh, whoa, woe was me, oh, is that, you will realize, oh, I'm seated with God in heavenly places. I am the princess. I am the king. I am the son of God. I am the one who has been bought by the price of Jesus' blood on the cross. I have been redeemed and made new. I no longer am seeing as dimly as I used to, because the Spirit of God will bring clarity to your life. Even though we look through a glass dimly, God is able to see clearly. And if we trust in him, he will make a way for us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The love that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved. God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Do it again. For God so loved the world that he gave us. His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God.
Saints of God, you and I, we have a home to go to. We have a home, and the homecoming is a great experience. You see, when the Son came home, the Father was watching out for him. The Father was looking, and your Heavenly Father is always watching out for you. He is always looking so that he can redeem us, and that's because he knew what was happening in his Son's life. And he knew that eventually, because of his childish thinking, that he would have to come home. That's what happens when you have childish thinking. You have to come to yourself. You got to wake up, and you got to allow the Spirit of God to lead you back to the place where you belong, so that you can actually grow and mature in your perspective, in your way of thinking, in your way of operating. Oh, I pray that you know how to come home to the Father. He is a forgiving God. Oh, the Father forgave his Son. He let it go. He didn't say what to do with all those resources I gave you. He just said, my Son was dead, but now he is alive. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you once were dead, but now you're alive. And so, Lord, we are thankful for what you have done in our lives. And we are grateful for the new life and the new perspective that you give us as we abide in your word and as we commune with you and as we fellowship with you, that your will would be done, that you would be lifted up and exalted. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo!